I'm Megan.
And I'm Jen, and you're listening to the Travel Mug Podcast.
Every episode, we talk about travel destinations, interesting trivia, and even some travel fails.
Let's dive into today's episode. Don't forget to travel mug. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Travel Mug Podcast. First, Megan, I want to say this is the 100th full episode of the Travel Mug Podcast. Can you believe that?
I can, and yet I cannot, because the pandemic seems like 100 years ago, and that's when we started, and here we are. Like, congratulations to us. It's a huge, huge deal.
Yes, and thank you to all of you out there that have been listening. Our download numbers have been going up over the last couple of weeks, which has been really exciting for us to see that we have new travel pals out there. So if you follow us on Instagram or Facebook, come say hello, say maybe how you found us. That would be really exciting to know. So this week, we're going to do another beginner's guide. And this time, we're going to be talking about Prince Edward Island, or PEI, or as my husband called it as a child, PDI.
As one does.
It's not a D, it's an E. So, Megan, first, let's chat about the history of PEI.
Let's do that. So, Jacques Cartier landed on PEI in 1534. However, it was not settled by Europeans permanently until the 1700s. We do want to acknowledge that prior to Cartier, Prince Edward Island is in Mi'kma'ki, the ancestral and unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq people who had already been there for millennia. Now, the first meeting of the Confederation of Canada, sounds like a big deal, was held on PEI in 1864. Confederation itself for the country took place in 1867. However, PEI did not like the terms and opted to remain a British colony at that time. Seems like, yes, we'll have the meeting, but no, we're not interested. You know?
It does.
However, I did not know all of this. And in the early 1870s, people on PEI started railway construction on the island, and they became frustrated by Great Britain's colonial office. And so I'm assuming it was money. That's what frustrates people. And so they started to negotiate, actually, with the U.S. to join America.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Oh, it's so scandalous. Now, this did not make Prime Minister Sir John A. Macdonald very happy at the time, as you can imagine. So what he and the rest of the country did was took over the railway debt and a few other concessions. And lo and behold, Prince Edward Island joined Canada on July 1st, 1873. Better late than never, I suppose, as they say. Did you know this, Jen?
I did not, actually. I don't think they taught me that in school.
It was a lot, I think, they left out of the curriculum. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Now, even though they joined late, they still see themselves as the birthplace of Confederation.
Okay.
I mean, but it is due to the first meeting being held there. So that's an interesting fact, I suppose. Now, there's even a national monument there for the fathers of Confederation. The main industries on PEI are tourism, fishing, and agriculture, with some new sectors as well in bioscience and advanced manufacturing. As of 2023, the population was a whopping 174,000. And I couldn't find data for 2023. Maybe I didn't look hard enough. But in 2022, the number of tourists who visited the island that year was approximately 1.3 million.
Wow.
I know. So that likely was a post-pandemic boom. But then I also did see a fact that annually it is between 1.2 and 1.4 million people who do visit. So that's right in line, I suppose, which is a lot of people compared to the population.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at PEI on a map, it's a small island. I mean, obviously all those people aren't coming at once, but still.
I know. I mean, good for them. I mean, that's great. So of course, sounds like people are going. So talk to us about people maybe who haven't been before, things they can consider on how to arrive.
Yes. So like its name suggests, Prince Edward Island is an island. So you have different options depending on where you are coming from. So Charlottetown does have a small airport with flights to and from Ottawa, Toronto, and Montreal all year. And then they have Calgary, Edmonton, and Kitchener in the summer months as of right now, April 2024, which is not that many direct flight options. But if you can connect through Toronto, you can get to PEI, so you're fine. You can also drive onto the island via the Confederation Bridge. Wonder where they got the name from.
Right.
From the province of New Brunswick. So the bridge has a toll, but only when you're leaving PEI. The toll is currently $50.25. So that's a bit much. Yeah.
Their motto should be, we'll catch you on the flip side.
Exactly. So you can also take a bus from Nova Scotia or New Brunswick to PEI if you don't have access to a car. Tickets one way are in the neighborhood of $60 to $70 and depart from many spots in both of the provinces to take you to PEI. Or you could take the ferry from Cariboo, Nova Scotia, which doesn't sound like a real place name, but it is.
No.
The ferry is very seasonal and very dependent on weather. So take that information as you will. The ferry costs $87.75 per vehicle. If you walk on, it's less. The ride is about 75 minutes. So a reservation is recommended as it's a first come, first serve. And you don't pay on the way to PEI just when you leave. So they'll let you on. But after that,
I saw that information. And the one thing I didn't understand is you don't have to take the ferry back. Like, you can leave by a bridge and save yourself some money.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, that's an option. But
PEI is confusing in its regards of letting people exit.
It is. So visitors can also reach the island via cruise ship as one of their ports of call. So in 2024, ships start arriving in early April, which is now. I think they're going to be disappointed with the weather right now, but that's them. It goes until about the end of October, the 30th, and it looks like a busy season for 2024. 60-plus cruise ships pulling into port. So that's where some of those 1.3 million people are coming from, I'm sure.
It has to be. I mean, even if they're day visitors, they could still see a lot, but it has to be some of the numbers in there for sure.
Yeah. So, Megan, if people are coming not on a cruise ship, they're going to need somewhere to stay unless you, like me, my last trip to PEI was there and back in one day because
I'm so sorry to hear that for you.
We were on a timeline. But, Megan, where should people stay?
All right. So, as for locations to stay, you can likely find some Airbnbs dotted throughout the island. There aren't tons, but there are some. And likely they're off the beaten path as well. So definitely take a look around as you may not want to stay where is deemed most popular. It is all depending on the type of trip you're looking to have. So maybe there's a remote Airbnb and that's just what you're looking for. Perfect. As for spots most people stay, that includes Charlottetown and Summerside being the bigger centers. Other small can't-miss locations include Cavendish, North Rustico, Kensington, and also Surrey. Two beautiful fishing villages, I mean, I've never been to, but were recommended by a local, if that's your thing, are French River and New London. Never heard of them, but I'm sure they're lovely. I'm from a fishing village, so it is not the first place I would go to. But if that is your thing, I'm sure it's beautiful. Now, like anywhere, consider the time of year because high season on PEI is busy. We've already talked numbers. So popular locations will be busy, but also keep in mind that outside of peak season, businesses and restaurants can close down, especially in smaller centers, Jen, you know this from your visit to Cape Breton. So a lot to consider when and where to go, depending on the time of year. But spring through fall are, of course, the best times to go, but also peak season. It's a bit of a conundrum.
Yeah, you know, it is. It is.
As for the types of accommodations, so I mentioned Airbnbs. There are bigger hotels in Charlottetown and Summerside, so chains, if that's your jam. There are smaller inns and bed and breakfasts dotted throughout the province as well. A few years back, we stayed at the Fairholme National Historic Inn during a visit to Charlottetown. We really enjoyed our time there. There are several historic inns to choose from, and it's a good route to go for an established spot that's local, so not a chain, if that's what you're interested in as well. Another cool spot we stayed a few years ago with some friends was a place called Canada's Rotating House Around the Sea. So the house itself rotates when you are staying in it. I know. But not fast. Obviously, I'm not vomiting as it whips around. It was a really, really cool experience. And that was located in aforementioned North Rustico. I highly recommend checking it out for an interesting stay. It was in a beautiful little community. There was a Canadian geese everywhere. It was right on the water. And it literally, as you're in it, so you get to see every angle from the house because it rotates. It was super cool.
Really? Because I feel like I would get motion sick.
No, I get motion sick. I do. And I was perfectly fine. It was very, very slow.
It's very unique.
I know. I really do think there's something for all tastes, including a lot of folks I know who go over annually, also stay in cabins and cottages. But just keep in mind, like anywhere popular with a specific visiting season, you have to plan ahead and you have to book early.
Yes, definitely. Also lots of campers, you know, going to PEI, which is also not my jam, but it's out there. There are campgrounds.
That's your thing. Now, we love to eat on this podcast, not literally, but we just love eating. So let's talk food.
All right, let's talk food. So when I think PEI, I think cow's ice cream.
Yeah.
So I know that we have a cow's in Halifax. There's also a few other locations in Canada, but like it's just better in PEI, you know? So for those of you who are unaware of the deliciousness of cows, cows started in PEI in 1983, and they still use all of the delicious, read full fat, traditional ingredients in their 32 plus flavors today. Get the homemade waffle cone. Oh my God, you'll smell it as soon as you go in there. I just want to bottle that up and smell it all the time. You will not regret it. They also make really like fun t-shirts and like that sort of stuff as well. But yes, the last time I went to PEI, we were like, let's go for cow's ice cream. And so we drove from Halifax to PEI instead of driving, you know, downtown. But, you know.
Did we have a cow's in Halifax? Okay. Okay.
We're going on an adventure.
I love that. Wonderful.
So I guess before you have your dessert, you should have some dinner. And PEI is known for its seafood, obviously. Mussels, oysters, lobster, more. If you eat seafood, this is the place for you to go. So some specific restaurant recommendations. So Founders Food Hall and Market in Charlottetown. It's a really cool concept. It's like a hub for locals and visitors. It has 20 shops and food spots all under one roof, from French Caribbean street food to sushi to there's a Turkish potato bar. So it's like baked potatoes and like you put toppings on them. Looked really good. Burgers, pizza, donut. They have literally everything and it looked so good. So check that out if you're in Charlottetown. So for me, I love Chef Michael Smith. I used to watch him on the Food Network all the time growing up. I have a couple of his cookbooks and he owns the Inn at Bay Fortune in PEI, which is near Surrey on the northeastern tip of the province. So you can stay there, but there's also a restaurant called The Fireworks. And every night in May to October, they serve the Fireworks Feast, which is a 5-hour dining experience.
Wow.
I know. So it starts with a firm tour, and then there's an oyster hour, and then there's a multi-course feast, including a bread course, maritime chowder, earth plate and salad course, shared plate, meat or catch of the day with vegetables course, and a farm dessert. I know. So it is $255 Canadian dollars per person, but like, what an experience. If you stay at the inn, you get a guaranteed spot if you want it at the restaurant or at the feast situation. So that's probably worth it because it's probably the only way to get a spot. I imagine that the spots go quickly. I did read that they can do accommodations for food allergies or that sort of thing. If you're vegetarian, they do have options for you. They don't have a menu per se. It's kind of just based on seasonal ingredients, but they can do something for you. So you won't be starving if you're a vegetarian. However, it's $255 a person. So like, just keep that in mind.
Right. Maybe spend your money not there if you can't really eat all the stuff and things. But yeah, I mean, that sounds cool. It's a lot of money, but it sounds like a cool experience.
Yeah. I love that it's a whole like 5-hour thing, like, and the firm tour, and just, it sounds like a really cool like group experience. So if you're into food, I think it would be cool.
Peter will not be attending.
I'm just gonna put that in there.
So we've eaten. Yeah. Now, like, what can we actually do on Prince Edward Island?
Okay, so we should start in Charlottetown because it's the capital city. So, with over 40,500 people, it is by far the most populated spot on the island. But the city is super walkable. It has plenty of restaurants, shops, parks, historic buildings, and more. So Victoria Row is beautiful and a great spot to find bars and restaurants. I think it's really, you know, like hop in on the weekend, Friday and Saturday evening. You'll also want to check out the Confederation Center of the Arts, which houses a museum, art gallery, provincial library, 2 theaters, and a restaurant. But it's probably best known for its annual summer production of Anne of Green Gables, the musical. And make sure to see St. Dunstan's Basilica on Great George Street. It's a stunning Gothic church. And this is just a small sample of things to do in Charlottetown. There's plenty. Discover Charlottetown's website has a great walking map, so I'm going to put that in the show notes so you can go find it and see all of the great things to do in Charlottetown.
Now, next up, I think we need to talk about the obvious.
The obvious. So if you love Anne of Green Gables, PEI is the place for you. Obvious. Uh-huh. It is, of course, the setting of the beloved L.M. Montgomery novels. And first, you'll want to visit the Anne of Green Gables Museum. So it's open mid-May to mid-October. And you can view many artifacts and the places that she wrote about, like the Lake of Shining Waters and Enchanted Bookcase. Plus a unique collection of L.M. Montgomery's belongings. So admission here is super reasonable at $9 per adult.
Nice.
Inflation hasn't hit the Anne of Green Gables Museum yet.
That's coming for you, but not yet.
So you can also reserve Matthew's carriage ride and take a carriage ride. The carriage is pulled by a tractor, though. It's not... Not a horse, and so to me, it sounds A, loud, and B, smelly.
Yeah. Matthew would not approve.
I'm not sure about that one. So you can also visit and shop in Avonlea Village. You can also visit Lucy Maud Montgomery's birth home and visit the restored and fully furnished 19th century country school where she taught. So lots of places. The Tourism PEI website has a list of all of the Anne of Green Gables related places you could visit. So I'll also put that in the show notes if you're really into an Anne of Green Gables themed trip around PEI.
Now, quick caveat. Did you watch Anne of Green Gables?
I have not, but I have read many of the books.
So, really?
Yeah.
Right. I was obsessed. I had it on, this may predate you, but I had it on VHS.
Oh, I've got a VHS. Yes. I was born in the 90s.
I know. I can't remember when VHSs went out of style. But anyway, I did love it. I've seen it many, many, many times. As a child, the CB, when it would come on the CBC, oh, my heart would sing. I've been to PEI a few times. I've not done the Anne of Green Gables stuff. I didn't want to like ruin the mystique, if that makes sense. I don't want to see this stuff. Like, she lives right in my heart and mind, and that's enough.
That's fair.
I know. So let's duck away from Anne of Green Gables for a second, and I'd love to talk about the Prince Edward Island National Park. So the park is located on the island's north shore. It has beaches, campsites, hiking, biking, trails, and more. So its facilities, this is a good distinction, its facilities open mid-May to early autumn. And for the 2024 season, the gates themselves will open early June to early September.
Okay.
Yeah, just check online. There are many options to visit in terms of day passes, to drive passes, to seasonal and camping passes. We will put a link in the show notes, chock full of links this week, so that you can plan your visit, so you can know when it's open and what's available and how much you will have to pay. And it's the only national park on the island.
Fun fact. Yes. That was on our local trivia night recently, which province only has one national park.
Well, there you go. And did you get it?
We did not. We totally overthought it.
Wonderful. And then finally, I'd like to discuss Greenwich Floating Boardwalk. So in the same area, St. Peter's. Now, speaking of the national park like we just did, this is actually within the park. So you will find something unique there, which is this floating boardwalk. So Greenwich is home to the biggest sand dunes on the island. And the boardwalk actually allows you to safely walk through the ecosystem of the area. Of course, there are three hiking trails in the area as well, of varying lengths. And you'll walk through wooded areas, abandoned agricultural fields, all without getting your feet wet, you know? Right. And we've seen pictures and it looks stunning. And it's also another reason to visit the park.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. I've never done that. So I want to share some perhaps silly, you might be into them, you might not be into them, things that my family did when we visited PEI when I was a kid. So PEI has a Ripley's Believe It or Not museum in Cavendish. It features random things like fossilized dinosaur eggs, an authentic shrunken head, an amazing 10-foot moving robot made of car parts, and other random things that you could find.
You've already named three of the most random things I could possibly think of.
You don't even know. Also, next door is the Wax World of the Stars, so you can take pictures next to wax figures of the stars. You know, very fun.
Like the twinkly stars or like...
Oh, like celebrities.
Okay.
Not an actual star. Yeah, no.
Wonderful.
Celebrity. Yes. So the Haunted Mansion, not at Disney. This one is in Kensington. It's quite kitschy, kind of fun, yeah, random things to do. And then Grandpa's Antique Photo Studio is really fun. You get to dress up. They provide the costumes and they have 18 full-scale sets to choose from. I'll have to post mine on Instagram, a little baby 18-year-old Jen.
I know you have to.
Yeah.
The world needs to see it.
What's next that's not so silly and kitschy?
I love those suggestions, though, because I think, really, you mentioned doing those as a kid. I think those things sound either if, like, adults want to go have fun, but if you do have kids, it's also going to be really interesting for them to take them there, too. So I think those are really great suggestions. Not everything has to be so serious, you know?
Yeah.
Now, One thing PEI has is plenty of lighthouses.
That's fair.
A fun fact about that is to come later. Mm. So do stay tuned. Okay. Now, a few lighthouses of note are Sea Cow Head Lighthouse, which is located just 20 minutes from the Confederation Bridge, and it is one of five pre-Confederation lighthouses on the island. Now, that must have been before PEI joined Confederation.
Right.
Obviously. Now, it was also featured in Anne of Green Gables and Road to Avonlea. So, another reason to see it with your own eyes. Another one of note is West Point Lighthouse Inn and Museum, which is located in O'Leary, which we've not mentioned yet.
Right.
However, it is a designated heritage site, and as the name suggests, you can stay there as well. They have 11 newly renovated seaside rooms with balconies. As you can imagine, this is only open summer into fall. And keep in mind, the thing about visiting any lighthouse on the island, you will get an amazing sea view. There's likely beaches nearby. So, like, add a lighthouse or two to your itinerary is our suggestion.
Yeah.
What's next?
In the north of the village of French River, you will find the lighthouse of Cape Tryon. Not only is this a lighthouse, it is also the site of the cliffs, the highest cliffs on PEI. So while there are obviously many sea views on the island, if you visit this area, you can say that you are at the site of the highest cliffs because, as you will hear later on in our fun facts, PEI is not about the heights.
It just simply isn't.
No.
Now, another thing you could do, there's lots of theater and live performance options. You've already mentioned Anne of Green Gables, the musical. So I just want to let folks know there are lots of different theaters to choose from according to where you're going to stay. So there's Confederation Center Theater, which is in Charlottetown, Watermark Theater in Rustico, Harmony House in Hunter River, King's Playhouse in Georgetown, and Harborfront Theater, which is in Summerside. And really, these are just the most popular. So really, if you're in any area on PEI during high season, check nearby theaters. You never know what live performances you could see, and it could really add something unique to your visit.
Yeah, so I think that lends really well into our next thing, because we're going to talk about festivals. And PEI has plenty of festivals throughout the year. And I have to start with the Cavendish Beach Music Festival. It happens in July. And they get some of the biggest names in country music as headliners. It's not my personal jam, but oh my gosh, so many people that I know go every year and have the best time. It is outdoors and it tends to rain that weekend, just to let you know.
You've been forewarned, pack well.
I'm just saying, I have not done it, but I have witnessed the Facebook post, so... just let you know. And SOMO is happening in September 13th and 14th. It's a music and food festival. So that sounds like so much more my speed. You can find live music plus demonstrations by celebrity chefs and cocktail masters on the culinary stage. And there are booths for food as well.
Nice.
And if you're super into shellfish, you're going to want to check out the Shellfish Festival happening in September as well, which will feature culinary demos, celebrity chefs, more celebrity chefs, delicious dining experiences, and the best of the best potato seafood chowder, and then like oyster shucking competitions. So,
wow,
it's fun if you're really into seafood. And to finish off, but it's certainly not an exhaustive list of festivals, Farm Day in the City is happening again October 6th, 2024. It seems like they had been off for a couple of years, but they are back. It celebrates buying local. So from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., you'll find live entertainment, a petting zoo, kids' activities and entertainment, agricultural displays, a beer garden, and some good old-fashioned friendly competition is what they say. I don't know what the competition is, but that is in Charlottetown. So that sounds really fun, actually. And it's free. Exactly. Like most things, a lot of the things are free. So that's really cool.
That is really cool. Maybe it's like a potato eating contest.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. It just said good old-fashioned friendly competition, but it didn't say in what.
Good luck to everyone who attends. Oh my goodness. So we've talked a lot about things to do. I think we've given people a lot of different ideas. One thing we haven't really dove into, although we briefly mentioned it, is like nature and beaches. I think there's a lot of different options that people can consider as well. So why don't you kick us off in the northeastern tip of PEI?
Yes, Basin Head Beach. It's known locally as The Run. Sure. What's really cool about this beach is it has high silica content in the sand. So the sand actually sings as you run on it. So
really?
I know, singing sands. It is a provincial park, so there are bathrooms and a canteen, which is really nice. So next up is Cavendish Beach East. It's at the end of Terre Rouge Road. So Cavendish Beach is probably the best known beach on the island. And because of that, it is super popular. But our insider information suggests heading to Cavendish Beach East. And it's a red sand beach and it looks stunning. So both of those beaches, Cavendish Beach and Cavendish Beach East, are in PEI National Park or Prince Edward Island National Park. So you will need a park pass. Like we mentioned, you can get a day pass for $9 per adult in the summer season.
That's nice.
Last beach we're going to mention is Brackley Beach, another great spot for a beach day. It's about 20 minutes outside of Charlottetown. It also has bathrooms and outdoor showers and hiking trails and cycling paths. Apparently, it's not usually too crowded, which is nice. Although I did read it can be windy, so we'll see. Maybe it's a good place to fly a kite.
Welcome to the Maritimes. We've got lots of wind.
And there are so many more. And as recommended by a local, if the weather is good, just follow the red dirt roads. You'll find something beautiful to look at.
I believe it. And that may seem like a strange concept to people not from Canada or not from around there to you just drive random roads. But I can totally see how that is actually the case. And you never know what you're going to come upon.
Right. I mean, you're on an island. So like how lost can you get? It's not that big of an island.
Exactly. And you'll definitely find a friendly local if you happen to find yourself lost for some reason.
Yeah.
Now, let's dive in. We've said a lot. So I'd love to talk about some interesting facts to finish things off about good old Prince Edward Island. So an obvious one, but like maybe not, PEI is Canada's smallest province. You referenced that from your trivia game.
Yeah.
And it is the only island province as well. It's just 224 kilometers long, and it is also the flattest province in Canada. I was going to calculate how many miles that is, but I did not do that for our American pals, but it's 224 kilometers. It's not that many miles.
No, it's honest. Not many. No.
Yes. And like I mentioned, also the flattest province. So those high cliffs you're going to see probably like don't get too excited, but
no mountains.
No. Exactly. Their official bird is the blue jay. Really? This came to be due to a public vote in 1976, the year of my birth.
Oh.
And their provincial animal is the red fox.
So cute.
I know Prince Edward Island got its name literally from Prince Edward, who was the father of Queen Victoria. The Confederation Bridge that connects PEI to New Brunswick is the world's longest bridge spanning ice-covered water.
It is a long bridge when you're driving on it. It feels long.
You're like, when will this end? 100%. More than one-fifth of the potatoes grown in Canada are grown on PEI. And keeping with the food theme, PEI waters produce more than 40 million pounds of mussels per year, which is 80% of Canada's mussels.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's a lot. I know. I've seen PEI mussels served at Disney World. So they're making their way out there.
Well, 40 million pounds has to go somewhere. My goodness. And there is only one national park, which we mentioned earlier, yet there are over 30 golf courses and 90 sandy beaches to explore and the highest concentration of lighthouses in North America at 63. That's a very small island, and that's a lot of lighthouses. And 9 of them you can visit seasonally. So there are 63, but you won't be able to visit them all inside.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Well, that is it for this week's episode. We hope we have inspired you to consider a visit to beautiful Prince Edward Island. There's beautiful scenery, amazing food, nice locals. What more do you want?
Right?
I know. We encourage you to visit. Why not become 1.4 million visitors, you know? Let us know if we missed anything that you feel is a must-see on PEI. We'd love to hear from you. And of course, happy travel planning as always. And you can find us on social media at Travel Mug Podcast, Instagram and Facebook, and our website, travelmugpodcast.com. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you would leave us a review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify and tell your friends about us. Invite them to the podcast party, you know? And until next time, bye.
Bye.